This morning, shall we turn to Romans chapter 8? Our subject this morning is pleasing God, and that's what I want us to think about. And you will find it in this part of the Bible. Now, I'll read three verses, but one of them will be our focus this morning. So verse 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, at this point, he was trying to make a distinction between those who are really of God. I mean, of course, we go, you see, you talk about the children of God, and he pictures them as those who are in Christ. If you look at verse 1, it says that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Condemnation to hell, condemnation to banishment from God forever, and condemnation of separation from God. Those who are in Christ, there's nothing of that condemnation to them. And he moves on to give reasons why it is so. And in verse 7, he says, because their mind is enmity against God. Those who are not in Christ, their mind is enmity, is hatred of the ways, the world, and God himself. And in verse 8, he says that then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He concludes with that. Then, if their ways are hatred to God, and if they are not in Christ, then they cannot please God. Because unless you are in Christ, whatever you do, you can't please God. So you cannot have anything to do with God. So this morning, I want us to think about pleasing God. And I'll pay the best I've been on this message, best thing I mean. In the case of Apostle Paul, of course, our book, Romans, chapter 8, there are not all chances from here, a war, Nipa, a war Christum, and no chance, no man, and coupon number. And also, not answer chances, or one that a trust of Sunsum. And almost sooner, or my geno, and then you have quite the epic. If you saw more, a woman, or so my geno, a putier and coupon, nay, not quite any basement and coupon or tear. So, let's just look at the word, pleasing. You know that for everyone to be happy, it depends on how he pleases those that his life depends on. For instance, and also those that, if he has to live well, it depends on them to provide for him or her. For you to be happy, if you don't please such people, you can't be happy in this life. That's the general thinking. Look at a servant's happiness depends on how he pleases his master. Employee, I'm sure most of us here are workers, your happiness depends on how you pleases your employer. And also, children, how can children be happy? Until they please their parents. They do that which pleases them. And last of all, in married couples, in the married life, husband and wife, except each please one another, there can never be happiness in the marriage that they have. So this is the idea of what? The word pleasing. So it gives us what Paul is trying to develop here. The Akan is there. We are saying so any better. Ejina, Miss Omoa, Ebua, and as Omoa, I'm out to me, trust him, Emma out to me, and you're more also to me, trust him, the mound, or so we are there when you best so. So Omoa, I don't want to be so. Who's winning? If we say, Omona, to please, as we find in our text, is what to be agreeable to. Said the kind of only Obi Anene ye be no crow. And the sense in our text is negative in the sense that it says that there are some which are not agreeable to, they cannot be agreeable to God. his being, his ways, and his will. Now, your verse 8, which says, you will be more among to me and so nyame ni. Nyame ni se de nyame otie ni ene na kwan ene ne pe. Among to me so nyame ni also. Now, all creatures depend on the Creator, God Himself. Everyone, I mean, all of us, it all depends on Him. And I mean, in Acts, we learn that for in Him we live and move and have our being. Yes, ni mu ni ete ni mu na yakoba ni mu na yenya ya mesu ma ete ni efinya kufon. Udi eja, I mean, ya train. Obia no aso wa sa si so on train ya kufon. So obeja tum so on yintu. Obia a train. And it will be our chief purpose to please Him, or else we can never be happy in this life and the life to come. So everybody's chief purpose is to please Him. And for us to be certain happy as in this life and the life to come is how well we please God. So the can say, Mr. My train and coupon, send you be any better abra boy when me abra that's a rubber band. It's not Mr. My son and coupon. Now God does not leave how to please Him to ourselves. Ask yourself, if you want to please somebody, does it depend on what you do? I mean, per your own standards, or what the person demands you to do? It's what the person demands, and when you're able to do it, then it pleases Him. It doesn't matter how best you do things according to your own standard. It's how you do it according to His or her standard. And then they can say, "Sir, ube so obi niya, and na di wangasa u personal ube ya di efuze ye ne mumne na di ni pano abasa oso ni nino." And no more person we know, we are pepe. And the best one depending. So to please God is to love Him. That is His being, who God is, His holiness, His justice, His kindness, His mercy, all the attributes of God, His ways and His will, as given in the Bible. See, many people seek to please God according to their own principles. But the Bible is very clear about how we can please God. God, in many times, from the time of, even after the fall, Cain and Abel, God demonstrated it. In the succeeding generation, God demonstrated how He can be pleased. He can accept sinners like you and I. And yet, man always go the other way around, like Cain did. Okay, the can say, Yanko Paul, Mary Brainwatch, how every time you are soon in. Yes, it's time, my dear, one day. If you guide them for him, Cain and Abel, I'm a crow much honor who makes my own portrait, makes him a bit to me as soon as any. Nipa Coston, a four runner crying so sell on our best one and good one. And further, it is, I mean, we can see this in what Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 12, verse 8. He said that, and how we have to please God with our whole being. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Think about it, with all thy soul, I mean your whole being, thy mind, thy thinking, whatever I think about, does it please God? My strength, whatever I put myself into, does it please God? And what? My everything. But how is the mystery of the many who cannot please God? It's a mystery. If I cannot please God, and sometimes people don't see that they can't please God. It's the worst of all, because it will deceive them to everlasting destruction. Many people would like to please themselves and many others, but not God. It's a common thing. We, by the fear of man, we seek to please ourselves or others. Nipa is true, and as a message, so nipa ni miti mire bwe no ye best so ye ni hu ni, and as ye best so ye tough for ni. I don't know nipa bwe no first. Ansana nipa o tini bwe ni misa no bwe no. Enye nyangu pwa kwa kwa. Said ye best so bwe ni, and as best so miyame ni. Nyangu pwa di a second thing to think about it. Zeme kasa. Send me cast out a son of me and send me and family home. Send me dreams of my dreams, son of me and family home. Send me yard, dear self, son of me and son of me and family home. But there are so many no son near obedience. That is it. But God is out of the question. Now, what is the condition of person that cannot please God? Our text is that they that are in the flesh. Almost me, son of me, no, yes, 7 verse, John, Romans chapter 8, verse 8, also, almost walk from them. They that are in the flesh. It is not that they that have flesh. Every human being has flesh. We are all in, we all have our flesh, okay? But those who live according to the sinful nature of the flesh, it's talking about the principle of life, how we live our life. It's not about how we are fleshy. It's talking about, if you say that those who are in the flesh, those who live according to their desires and the inclination of their flesh, thinking only to satisfy themselves. they can never please God. That is what the verse is trying to say. Was omwa wonhonamu no enye so obi a wonhonam keke obi a wonhonam obi e suno kaso befa honam asase so na mmum no omwa etna se wonhonam enyoma a eso honam ani e ma honam ani je eno na omudi echire so eno na Bible e ka. So what is it to be in the flesh? I want us to have further understanding of this. What is it to be in the flesh? For instance, so before I come to this, so if I want entertainment, I just think my own happiness. Okay, I think this music is good for me. I don't care whether God pleases or not. I enjoy it. If it's a fashion, I just look at, oh, this dress will be nice for me. Does it please God? No. Such is the picture of all those who live according to the flesh. I want to work in this social and so place. Does it please God or no? I don't care about that. It pleases me or please somebody, I go on and do it. This is the picture I'm trying to create. So that every aspect of my life, so long as I am okay with it, if I'm okay with it, that is it. It doesn't matter whether God pleases or not. That is the picture of living according to the flesh. So what is it to live in the flesh? They that are in the flesh are in an unregenerate state. That is, they are in a state that they have not been born again. They have never experienced the new birth in Christ Jesus. They only have their natural birth by the desire of flesh and blood. By the desire of their parents, they were born. I mean, God gave them to their parents. And that is it. That's the only birth they have. They have the birth of flesh and blood. They have not received the spiritual birth of God's will through the forgiveness of sin in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 13, it's describing those who are born of God. He says that they are born not according to the will of the flesh and blood, but according to the will of God in the spirit. They are born according to the will of God. So think about that. I'm a person. I've been born by my parents. But there should be another birth from God according to his own will. Where it's a spiritual birth. Think about that. Have that been done to my soul? Have I experienced that? If I have not, I'm in the flesh. That's the first thing we think about. They have not repented of their sins. They have no faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. They are not in Christ. As in our verse 1 says that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. So if I only have my natural birth, I'm not in Christ. They here can say, omu omu namu no, omu nya omu fro. Awu omu wani di omu papani omu ame. John chapter 1 verse 13. Just picture, you see how Jesus Christ was born. Mary was a human being, but the Holy Spirit sanctified her womb so that the body of Christ was not tainted with sin. That's a picture of our new birth. Yes, we are persons, we are sinful creatures, but God has one nature, another nature, which is without sin, without touch of our fallen nature, perfect in Christ, perfect like God himself, and he comes and dwells in us. And do we have such nature in us? So those who are not in Christ are in the flesh. The second thing we think of those who are afraid that they are under the controlling power of sin. And we will describe how it is. Such persons cannot have their life of sin displeases God. They are dead in trespasses and sins. That is, their death in trespasses and sins is in relation to their real spiritual life of holiness, and as a result of sin, like a dead man who is insensible to the objects which are around him. Often, when we talk of dead in sin, people think that, but I'm alive. Why am I dead? It's a spiritual death. It's not about physical death in sin. It's a moral deadness, which until God raises you up from it, you are dead. You cannot relate to God. When the word of God comes, it doesn't have total influence upon your heart. Yes, some word of God, I will take it because it suits my taste. But other portion of scripture, I just brush over, careless. This is a state of living under the flesh, living in flesh. So they are insensible, like a dead person. Spiritually dead. So we are spiritually dead in trespass and sins. The real things of spiritual things, when we talk about them, it doesn't move you until the Holy Spirit works in your heart to have that delight in them. How many are insensible to profanity when there is no regard to God? I mean, when people are casting profane jokes, people just enjoy it. They care not. So long as they are happy, they don't look at it as if about God, does God approve of it? People can even use the name of God to joke, and people laugh at it. And they call themselves Christians. Profane desires, utterances, and actions rule the whole being of such persons that live in the flesh. How many are covetous for gain at the expense of obedience to God? Many people, they are so covetous. They care not how it goes in disobedience to the will of God. Place anything to them that will increase their worldly profit, and then they will sacrifice every precious time for prayer, Bible reading, meditation, worship for it. Anything that will grant them, will tell them they will gain more, they will have profit. Bible reading is aside. They will wake up early morning, they will come and sleep late, they will do everything. But then the word of God is even if it's read just casually, they don't even think about what they read so that it has influence upon their heart. They don't even meditate upon it. Oh yes, devotion, I read my Bible, I prayed, I'm gone. Such is the life of living in the flesh. The worship of God has no meaning to my soul. I just have some feelings and that is all. It doesn't be with me to the rest of the week to let me be obedient to the will of God. And how many are also hypocrites who are content with outward holiness instead of holiness of the heart? There are other portion of people who also live in the flesh. And this is the most dire part. God, many of these attend church. They do everything as anybody does. I mean, they will serve, they will do everything. But they have not given their heart to God. They love to keep their lust, pride, envy, hatred. And they want to keep everything in their heart, but they will outwardly show that they are Christians. Oh, you see them dressed well on Sunday morning, going to church. But their heart, God has no rule over it. In worship and conduct, they are like the Pharisees. See how Jesus Christ pictures the Pharisees. See, they make outer of the sepulchre so neat, but inside is petrifying, scent and all that. So you see that, like the Pharisee, who when you see, you admire in character and everything, but in the heart is covetousness. In the heart is envy and pride. They moved, together with the elders of Israel to kill Jesus Christ. But they thought they were holy people. They could cause murder carelessly. And that is what the heart of those who live in the flesh are. So this and others portray a state of controlling power of sin over a person. And the third thing, that they are separated from God by sin. Another thing, living in the flesh is separation from God by sin. It's a picture of someone who lives in the flesh. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, the Bible says that, "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." A separation between God and any person is sin. It's by sin. Sin is causing separation between man and God. That is, their sins are like a partition between them and God, so that there is no contact between them and him. It's not physical separation, it's a spiritual separation. And in 1961, I'm sure most of you are aware of this history, the Berlin Wall was built to separate the eastern and western part of Germany, the eastern part from most part of the western part from the west, the eastern part of Berlin and other parts of Germany. And what was this? This division was physical and also ideological. It wasn't just physical division, but each were pursuing different political ideology. It's a picture of how we are separated from God. It's not just we see physical separation. People don't like God, but it's also the principle of life. So you see, the separation we see with this German for 28 years is similar. We can picture it in a way how sin have separated us from God. You can't move to the other side. You can't move to the other side. So that is how sinners keep God out of their heart. Yes, they may outwardly portray, a sense of his presence and all, be doing his worship and throwing up their hands and all, but then in their heart is is out of the way. As light and darkness is not compatible, can light and darkness meet together? No, God is light. Sin is sin. Sin is darkness. Until my sins are taken away, I'm in darkness. How can I be, combined to God, and to have any fellowship with Him? Our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of this separation, said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hated the light, and that cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In John chapter 3, 19 and 20. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the light that has come into this world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the light that has come into this world. And everyone who repents of sin and believes in Him is reconciled to God, who only dwells in light. How can I be reconciled to God as a sinner? I'm His enemy. Unless I come to Him through the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ came to offer His blood on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood for the purchase of our redemption. So that when I come to believe in Him, my sins are forgiven me. I am cleansed of it. Now He gives me a new principle, a new heart, a new life. His light has shined upon me. Now I'm accepted of God. My sins are taken away. His blood has covered me, like in the Old Testament. So this is how it is. But Christ told them that man loved darkness rather than light. Man loved to hold their sin, that to come to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, many people talk about the gospel, but they don't teach people about faith in Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Repentance of sin is out. Oh, Christ has come and died for us. Oh, we are saved. We are baptized. No, I must come to Christ myself. I've come to believe and trust in Him, calling upon Him to come and save me. I always use this illustration. If somebody is falling into a pit, what does he do? He calls for help. Until you see your sinfulness, you will never go to Christ and call for Him for help to relieve you of your sin. The Ekan is there. Yesu Kristo all chamfoni afa said the Ekan is nchichemu ababoni ni aboni foni yangu ponjem. I say if you say I say no me abe we ask if you say ehaya abe we ask ne mum ni pa do esum sin ehaya no if you say omu njuma eni ayo boni I say niabia ope boni no ochi ehaya no na on to me ba ehaya ni if you say obe mu njuma ebe de you will be reproved. And I can say a day any in Sempano I used to go to the buy. So we war Calvary, I send you so no oh she the mojagu ye. Send me and I would the boy in the Ubek team after years to say yes we for a bonnet chemin. If you say over she won a mojagu mamma bonnet. Now I don't and now or John Kwan do one better now grow home. And then I say a hang. If you say no power near coupon and no timu I bear back, then I bet you meaning a coupon a year. So my question to ask this morning, have you also believe the gospel? Each one of us, we ask ourselves, this is the way to have light in our soul. This is the way to bar this separation between us and God. Have you also gone to Him? And if you have gone, has He also received you? I'll move on to my second part of our meditation. It's about the reasons that being in the flesh or the unsaved cannot please God. Na de e to so se ndwe adwene e wo se de nipa wo hunamu anaso onya nkwa no onso yakopon ni de nti a wo tumi so nya so yakopon ni. And I've said before, it is not a physical but a moral inability, and this is in their fallen nature, which is not of God but of sin. Se de nipa ni yakopon entem enya ba kwa tumi kwa yakopon no enya eniso ade eye esu eye etrene ye a wo se wo nipa mu. And no more in any part, I shall assume. Then, if you know, God made man upright, but He sought many inventions. So, I have born in a way for Muno, and a money band to me, and Konya Kupon. Again, when we talk of human depravity or moral, people think that, oh, but man has sense to live, or man can do many wonderful technology and everything. It's not about, physical things that we're able to do and our intellect to be able to do. Yes, when man fell into sin, he did not lose, his mind, but he lost his standing before God in spiritual terms. So that is what is left. So when you talk about total depravity of a state that is falling short of a standing of uprightness before God. The unsaved person's inability to please God lies in the lack of moral strength, wish, and will to actually perform that which is good and pleasing in the sight of God. He lacks the wish and the will. Even when the wish comes, it is tampered with sin. He cannot fully, sincerely forgo his sin and come to him. He retains some portion of it Why even trying to pursue after God? And until he's totally gone off without hood, he can never please God. So with this kind of attitude, it leaves the sinner, I mean, increased responsibility. Now this year also. Maybe some point I mentioned. Menso I'm sensu from a body. And young people said, one found sa and ba and mu shini mu in shine mouth. Once who crab one in the young business of the initial mouth. I want to go to God, but I'm holding on to my sin. God said, come to me with empty hands. I don't need any work of thine. And yet you say, oh, I'm holding on with something because I love some things in my heart. I don't want to part away with them. Somebody gave this illustration. A pig will not sit up to wash its face like a cat before the fire. Or say, Opreko, on to me, it will never happen. Neither will a corrupt person take delight in holiness. Send it out of beer and you soon aprono, unya, a pet, or no, my yet conchrome. No devil could praise the Lord as angels do, and no unregenerate man can offer acceptable service as the saints do. Yes, those who are not saved, those who are not born again, they offer something, but it falls short of what those who offer. Those who are in Christ, we can't offer anything to God. God only accepts what Christ has offered. So when those who are in Christ, they come in the name of Christ. They offer everything to God through Christ to be accepted. They don't offer anything to God direct. But those who are not in Christ, they come with no one to help them. And also because there's lack of grace in the heart. Why they cannot please God? Because there's lack of grace. You know, the grace of God is the influence of the Holy Spirit upon the heart. So that the heart, by and by, totally submits to the will of God. That is the work that is done in the heart of the saved. Willingly, it doesn't come to force you, it works in a way so that it makes you willing to accept whatever God says and renders them able to do things that please God. But those who are unsaved, those who are in the flesh, don't have this work of grace in their heart. So you see, to please God is not just you waking up and coming to church or you waking up and taking on religion. Something must happen and God must do that. God, the Holy Spirit, must effect this change in the heart. And it's a real thing, it's not a phantom. Some people think that the work of grace is an imaginary thing. Sometimes when we talk about it, people think that is it real? Is it doesn't happen? It's true. It's real. It works in the heart. Remember what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus. He said that the wind blew it where it listed, and you don't see. You don't see the wind, but you see the working of the wind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. The person is changed from within out. You don't see the work physically, but it is done. God does that work in the heart of man. Remember, as of Israel of old were told to pour and mingle oil with their flour for meat offering. They have to mingle holy oil. So they were to offer so many offerings. One of them was meat offering, that is food offering. And they were to mingle with holy oil. And the implication was that the holy oil is a typical of the Holy Spirit, which sanctifies every sacrifice. Every sacrifice has to be mingled with that, sacrifice has to be mingled with oil. To be accepted before they can burn it before the Lord. So that no one can offer himself to God, no true sanctification can occur without the divine oil of divine grace. Without the oil of divine grace. Until grace has really worked in my heart, I cannot offer God. I might try to do things I please, but it will never happen. Until God has said that, until grace is done, the Holy Spirit has influence over my heart. Over everything that I do. So the principle of holiness is poured upon the believer's heart by the Holy Ghost, and they sanctify him to be accepted by God. So those who are not this principle of holiness by the Holy Spirit cannot offer anything before God. The can say, Israel 40, no young folk catch almost say, Omo Ewo I say Bian de Sam. Or so Munchie and Gwabia or say about my tongue with you. No more found friends or mash up on your meaning. And they sang Gwani Jaoma, whom Concron, ne to me, or the Babette, Akuma, or my dick is to dinner. Now, I did be on by you, as a group when you. And we say, as a group on IGBBA, be a bay. So, this is the principle of what? The Holy Spirit working in the heart. And the third thing also that, because the nature of God renders the sinner unable to please him. He is a holy God, he is a jealous God. How can a sinner approach the most holy God? He cannot. He is most holy, he is most, jealous of against our sin. How can I go to him if I hold my sin? It will repel me. It will not, he will not accept. Therefore, he cannot associate with sin. His presence will devour the sinner. So God cannot be approached until our sins are paid, until Christ has saved us and washed us from our sins. And in your corner, on our issue, no, a man or the boy in the engine banning chain, engine soon. If he said, when you're crong crong, now or kinogun, I will be out with Tibone, Tibone, engine banning him. So, because the best, another thing that because the best that the unsaved person offer to God will be insincere. Dear Onya, sir, our full frono, do you have any piano? And yet, I mean, all to me, my and days, and yet clear, I mean, and yet, dear, any better or any meaning. Without the love of God and faith in Christ, man cannot please God. A contaminated fountain must dispense filthy streams. In Suya, the Tia Serno, and Suni Ba, and Suni Yas, a Galamse for two Galamse war, forest, I mean, Suni Babi Pio, Krumna, and Yafita. If we say Omakono, it's resided here. Sir Bonina Way Muno, Yenfiwa, I did be a baby. That is how it works. What are the prayers, the alms deeds, and devotions of an unrenewed soul before God? Obia unya sa unkonko juma woni muno ne mpa ebo ne papa oye eni mezo wadre musi o manya kupono enye fi onyamienim. God himself told the Israelites, said that, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said the Lord. Or say, if you are for your born, you know, I say, then you know, more sacrifice, the mommy. I say, I give you an attention. But instead of the sinner sacrifice, God commands him to rather seek cleansing for his sin. In the same Isaiah, he said, I wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. You, before you offer a sacrifice, atone for your sin. And Israel were to kill a lamb, a goat, whatever, to atone for their sin. You and I, our atonement in Christ Jesus. Until Christ we have come to believe on Christ, we shall never have anything to be accepted by God. So a cleansing for sin can only be found by faith in the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So being in Christ, having faith in him, so that though I'm a sinner insincere, I can now come to you to be accepted by God, because God has also accepted me because of Christ's blood that he shed for me. And the last part of our reasoning for this is that because the inclination of the fleshly mind is to self-will, self-seeking, lust, greed, hatred, envy, self-importance, and all other immoralities. Nipa noa na otin ho na mu no na dwen ye den odwen ne ho ono ne ni onyam ade akono I mean, that is the life of the unsaved mind. Because in verse 8, it says that it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's what the Bible is saying. It's not me or anybody. It can never subject to the law of God. Being in the flesh, the mind cannot subject itself to the law of God. Yes, I will learn the word of God somehow. I'll take some push. It cannot. That's what the Bible says. Until I am saved, until I'm in Christ, my mind can never accept the law of God. Yes, I might, as I said, take some portion of it. I cannot come under the law of God. So, you know, God accepts only those who are entirely submissive to his law, with the mind, with the heart, soul, and the strength. Whatever I think of, whatever I desire to do, whatever I'm living for, whatever I have strength to do, God accepts it, because God, has had this great work done in my soul. Yeah, can you say, if you say nipa no a otena hona mu na dwen nipa ni bibia ti nya memra na o say on to me en di nya memra so on to me fa na o nya memra say if you say pote hona mu o say en to me in secret. That's what God is saying. So I move on to my last third point, then we are done. How a person can please God. We have learned how by living in the flesh, what it is to live in the flesh, and the reason why being in the flesh cannot please God. And now we look at how a person can please God. This must take place before you can please God. This must happen. And that's what the Bible teaches us. There must be a new nature. We must have a new nature. You and I must have a new nature, where the Spirit of God only can create in you. The old nature cannot please God. As I've explained, the old nature by our parents cannot please God. The new nature pleases God. In Colossians 3, it says that it is because it is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new nature is renewed after the knowledge of God who created him. So it is in line with him. He has put a new principle in that nature, which is in line with what his word teaches. So he's able to submit to him. But the old nature, because of sin, it is tainted. It can never do anything good. It has to be thrown away. It has to be gotten rid of. So being in Christ brings a new nature because he conquers the old nature and establishes the new. As Christ himself said that a new wine must be put in a new bottle. So if I say I have received Christ, there must be a new nature in me to contain that new, the newness of life, where the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to have it. So if I don't have the Holy Spirit, there can never be a new nature in me. The new wine in a new bottle. There should also be a reconciliation. There should be what? A reconciliation. How can a father be pleased with his prodigal son? My son has disobeyed me. He has run away from me for so many years. How can they be reconciled together? They must have forgiveness, friendliness, and mutual interest. Is it not the same thing with God? God and you must be joined together only under the mediatorial work of Christ, else you cannot be a child of God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Before we can come back to God, there's only one mediator, one through whom we can come. We can never come upon our own. Before we can have forgiveness from God and have mutual interest in Him, it must come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And also, there should be a reception. Until you are received in Christ, your service cannot please God. So you see, there should be a new nature, there should be a reconciliation, a reception. You should be received in Christ. I've wandered far away from God for many years for myself, and now I'm coming to God. You have to be received. If a son returns home, I heard a story of a young man who disobeyed his parents and left the home, the house in the U.S. And he went to live his life, and along the line, he got saved. And he realized that he had done a great evil against his parents, so he was returning. But because before he left the house, he slapped his father before he left the house. So he was unsure if his father would receive him. But in the train back home, he met a preacher who spoke to him. And the preacher told him that, okay, it's good to go back home, but I'll help you. Before he was coming home, he has called the parents to tell them that he wants to see if they have accepted him, but if they can only hang quite flax in the house. So when the train is getting closer, their house was by the train, the railway side. So if he could see the white flags, he would get down and come back home. But if he doesn't see the white flags, he'll pass on because they have never accepted him. So he told the preacher to be his eye. He closed his eyes and the train was coming. And in the curve, the preacher raised up his eye and said, "Son, look, your parents have hung the white flags." And it was a joy to this son's heart because the parents have accepted him. There was what? A sign of acceptance. So a sinner moved far away from God. Only perfect righteousness can make you be received by a holy and jealous God, and none but Jesus can complete this justification. Only our righteousness is in Christ. How can we see that we have been accepted? When Christ himself works in our hearts, gives that assurance. What we read here in verse 16 said that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it is not a mere saying. The Holy Spirit bear witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. And certain must testify that we are children. We cannot claim for ourselves. Have we have this work done in us? Then we can also claim that we have that perfect righteousness. So before I come to the end of my talk, I just want to ask this question: that is there any here who is not saved by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Has not anybody done this? You know, you must believe in Him as He's revealed. You must believe in God as He's revealed in Jesus Christ. Yes, God, you have sinned against God, but God has opened a way for you and I. There's a way open which only passing through can give you that righteousness. Passing through can give you that acceptance. Passing through can give you that reconciliation that God needs. And it's not else but Jesus Christ alone. In Him alone that we can have this work done in us, and also this righteousness. And it's a determination to do so. This son, as I gave you the explanation, as an illustration, he determined to come back home. And he determined to make sure that they were accepted by calling the parent. You and I have to call upon God. Ask Him so that He come and also do this work upon us. So we must all come to Him in repentance. believing alone on Christ's precious blood, which is shed on the cross of Calvary for sin's death. That alone can atone for sin. That alone can work our reconciliation. That alone can work our reception. You know, there's false notion nowadays. Some people think, oh, I speak in tongues, so I'm born again. No. Or maybe I've had some experience. No. There should be a true, work in the heart. So many people have been deceived. You talk to people and they think they are saved, and yet they cannot testify of this great work upon their heart. Wherein, I remember I was speaking to a young man this week, and he said he's saved, but I proved to him that no, what he says is not saved, but he's dependent on his baptism and all that. And I told, how many times does he read the Bible? Once a while. I said, no, it's a sign that you are not saved. It's a sign that you are not saved. And you have the light even in reading. You read it when you want to find something, that is all. No, the saved person has desire nothing else but to feed the word of God. But from there that he gets his strength, from there that he has his happiness for the day. And when I meditate on it, fills my heart, and prayer and all things that, and church, and many things which we have to do to delight in. So you see, this work makes the heart willing and acceptable before God. So may the Lord help us to think about this thing, that we also will see how to be accepted by him, because our verse is that they that are in the flesh cannot please God.